It has been a good day in the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord has given us a beautiful, beautiful sunshiny day. It's still a little cold outside, but He's given us a beautiful day to enjoy. We had a good service this morning. I preached this morning over at Sulphur. And the Lord is blessing tonight for me to be able to preach here tonight.
Bless you, Lord.
I always love coming to Cornerstone. This is, for the longest time, this was my second home away from home church. And I still enjoy coming down here and being with you. And hope you enjoy the service tonight. Hope you enjoy the message tonight. This message the Lord put on my heart. I thought I was going to preach it this morning, and the Lord flipped it on me, and I had to preach something else that I hadn't even studied for, but it went all right. And, of course, when the Lord's in control of it, it'll always turn out all right. And so this is the message that I thought I was going to preach this morning that I've got on my heart tonight. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 24.
Lord, there you are.
We'll read quite a bit here, probably from the first down to the 15th verse at least. Isaiah 24, starting verse 1. The Bible says, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord has spoken this word. The earth mourneth and fadeth away, the world languisheth and fadeth away, the haughty people of the earth do languish. The earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the cursed devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. The new wine mourneth, the vine languisheth, all the merry-hearted do sigh. The mirth of the tabret ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoiceth endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth. They shall not drink wine with the song. Strong drink shall be bitter to them that drink it. The city of confusion is broken down. Every house is shut up, that no man may come in. There is a crying for wine in the streets. All joy is darkened. The mirth of the land is gone. In the city is left desolation, and the gate is smitten with destruction. When thus it shall be in the midst of the land among the people, there shall be as the shaking of an olive tree, and as the gleaning grapes when the vintage is done. They shall lift up their voice, they shall sing for the majesty of the Lord, they shall cry aloud from the sea. Wherefore glorify you the Lord in the fires, even the name of the Lord God of Israel in the isles of the sea." Go ahead and be seated. That's as far as we're going to read right now. I was studying last night, and I had a leading to go to Isaiah, and I was starting to flip through Isaiah, trying to find some scripture, amen, to preach this evening, preach this morning as well. And I come across this verse in the Bible, and there was one particular part of one of these verses that stood out to me. I'll get to that in a minute. But I want you to notice here, there's a lot of destruction happening in the world that it's talking about. To me, it almost sounds like the Great Tribulation, how bad it's going to be and how terrible it's going to be, how there's going to be no laughing, there's going to be languishing, and people utterly spoiled and utterly emptied. And he begins to say in verse 2, as it is with the people, so it's going to be with the priest. And as it is with the servant, it's going to be with his master. He begins to say from the lowest to the highest, it's going to affect everybody. And he says in verse 5 about the everlasting covenant, how they've broken it, how they've transgressed the laws, how they tried to change the laws and the ordinances. Uh-huh. And there's a verse that stood out to me. It's verse 6. He said, "Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left." And if you go on to verse 15, there's a little part there that I hadn't really read before, never thought about it, never even seen it before that I can remember. It says, "Wherefore glorify ye the Lord in the fires." Amen. And it began to talk about how the few men were left and the inhabitants of the earth were burned up. But he also talked about in verse 13 down there about the olive branch, about the olive tree, how it's going to be like a shaken olive tree. How it's going to be like the grapes when they're gleaned after the vintage is done. And how there's going to be a remnant, what he's trying to say. Right. There's a remnant left. After all this chaos, there's going to be a remnant left. And he says they'll lift up their voice and they'll call on the Lord and sing for the majesty of the Lord. And it says they shall cry aloud from the sea. Amen. From the mountains and from the isles. And he says, glorify the Lord in the fires. And I believe in my heart, what was on my heart today was glorify the Lord in the fires. Amen. We talked about in that song we just talked about and we just sung about Nebuchadnezzar, the great king over there, who talked about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and talked about how they was in the fires and how it was with them that the three Hebrew children we heard about, them in the song there. Let's turn over in the book of Daniel, chapter 3. It's talking about them. Amen. He talks about in verse 13. Before we get into that, we find that Nebuchadnezzar had set up a golden image. And it said he set it up and he made a decree throughout the land. It said that the herald got up and he began to decree that everybody, when they heard the sound of the timbers, the timbrels and the cymbals and all the different kinds of music, that they were to bow down and give their blessings, in other words, or give their respect to this golden image, as if it was some kind of God. Amen. It began to talk about that, and Nebuchadnezzar here, some of the men there told on Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and said, some of these men aren't bowing down like you wanted them to. Verse 13, it said in chapter 3 of Daniel, that Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do you not serve my gods nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready, at what time of you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, if you fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if you worship not, you shall be cast in the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Oh, that we had some more Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the church world today. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Amen. They get to talk about here about Nebuchadnezzar and about how he was angered and he was infuried and he was raised that these men had the gall, the audacity not to bow at the command. Well, first of all, I began to read a little bit of this, and the men had told him that these men that had certain affairs over the province of Babylon are not bowing down. He's talking about the three Hebrew children. And before that, in the verse 1, it talked about how this golden image he set up in the plain of Dura. He set up in a certain location. Now, I don't know where the children of Israel were at that time, but it sounds like they didn't know anything about this decree that went out. They were over affairs of different, all kinds of provinces of Babylon, and they may have been absent when this decree was called and when this decree was made, so they may have not have known that it was decreed in the first place that they should bow down when they heard all kinds of music. That's why they said, if it be so. He's not saying, hey man, if God can deliver us, he knows they can deliver him. But he said, if there be a commandment such as this, hey man, God's going to deliver us out of this fiery furnace. We have no doubt about it. And then they go to say, but if not, he's not doubting God a bit. He's not saying that God won't deliver us. He's saying, but if there's not a decree, if you're just trying to catch us in some kind of lie, we're still not going to bow the knee to you or your gods. Amen. I like the way that Shadrach and Abednego stood up and talked to the Nebuchadnezzar like this. In the first chapter of Daniel, we find that the four children, including Daniel, God gave them knowledge and skill and all learning and wisdom. And it said that Daniel had a little extra. He said he had understanding in all visions and dreams. And it said that the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Now, let me tell you something. That was their Hebrew names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that was the three Hebrew children. Right. See, the Babylonians tried to rename them to what they were. Yep. But you know what? No matter what the world calls you, you won't fit their mold.
Right.
If you recall the last time I was here, the Lord directed me to preach on about whose armor you were in. Hey, man, no matter if they gave them a different kind of armor, that's not the kind of armor that they wore.
That's right.
On the inside, they were Hebrew children, no matter what the outside name was. And the king commanded them to stand by him, and it said they found none like them. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom, understanding, the king inquired of them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. So, in other words, you couldn't pull a fast one on old Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. You couldn't trick them. You couldn't pull the wool over their eyes. They said, you know, if this thing be true, God's going to deliver us. And if it's not true, we'll still not bow the knee. They were cunning. They were wise. And they answered as God had directed them to do so. But if not, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Let's read a little further. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Amen. And the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Before, he said they were 10 times wiser than everybody in the land. He put them over certain provinces of Babylon. Yep. But now the anger and his fury came up before him, and his visage, his countenance, was changed against the three Hebrew children.
Right.
It says, therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it was wont to be heated. Right. 7 times hotter than it was normally heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen and their hats and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because of the king's commandment was urgent, and the furnace was exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. In other words, he was astonished. And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four being loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego come forth of the midst of the fire, and the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors being gathered together. These are all the people that was accusing them. They saw these men upon whose bodies the fire and no power had no power, nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire passed upon them.
Praise the Lord.
They saw with their own eyes that they were God's men. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and had changed the king's word. Boy, I'm glad God can change the word of the king.
Yes,
he can change the word of the president. He's got him in the palm of his hand. He can change any situation in your life. Amen. He can change it. And it said earlier that we talked about he turned the world upside down. Amen. In Acts, it talked about the men went about, the disciples, and it said they had turned the world upside down. I'm glad we serve a God who holds the world in his hand.
Uh-huh.
And if he wants to, Brother Junior, he can turn it upside up or upside down.
Uh-huh.
Amen. There's nothing impossible with God.
Amen.
I'm glad that's why people are still coming to the altar today. As we've just witnessed, people are still coming to an almighty God because they know he's in control.
Yes.
They know he's in charge. They know he can take care of their problems.
Yes, sir. Praise the Lord.
He's still in the fire.
Yes, sir.
That's what that whole verse was about that I just quoted to you in Isaiah. Glorify the Lord in the fires. You see, we go through a lot of fires in these days and times. COVID itself is a fire. Amen. It's just a raging. It's a burning. It's consuming people. Left and right. But I'm telling you what, there's one in the fire that it can't touch. Amen. The same one they found in Nebuchadnezzar's day is still alive and well. And he's still walking around in the fire. The Bible even says he is an all-consuming fire. He is known as a pillar of fire. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, amen, he followed them in a pillar of fire so that the enemies behind them couldn't even touch him, couldn't get nowhere near him. Same God is still alive today.
Yes,
and He's still in the fire.
Yes.
Amen. I know we sung it last week, but I just had to hear it again. Amen. Just for this service, just for this sermon. God is still in the fire. Therefore, glorify you the Lord in the fire.
Yes, amen.
Glorify Him while you're in the fires. Yeah. And glorify the Lord who is already in the fire.
That's right.
It was Peter over here. In one of his epistles. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. Boy, you talk about strange.
Right.
Let's heat the furnace up 7 times hotter.
Right.
Amen. Let's heat it up and let's throw them old boys in there. Amen. We find that Nebuchadnezzar had to bow down to the Almighty God
after all.
Amen. It wasn't too long after this, I believe. That he had to be shown he still didn't believe wholeheartedly. And the Lord made him be like unto the four-footed beast. He began to grow claws. He began to grow a hair and maybe even feathers, it said, seemed like. Amen. And finally, after about 7 years, I believe it was, he finally came to himself and realized there is only one God in heaven.
That's right.
That's it. There is no Buddha sitting up there in heaven making intercession. There is no Muhammad sitting up there making intercession. They're still in their graves.
Right.
They're still under the ground as we speak today. All bones and ashes came from, and that's what they return to. But there's one that came out of the grave.
Amen.
On the third day. Amen. And it's not no fairy tale. It ain't no sometime long ago and far away. Amen. The Bible talks about it. And he talks about how he was seen from many witnesses, including the disciples. And it talks about how he was seen above 500 brethren at one time.
That's right.
Not only that, when he resurrected, there were some of the saints that came up out of the ground when Jesus went and died on the cross.
That's right.
They went about and they testified of Christ.
Yep.
You think about Lazarus, he came up out of the grave. Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And I always thought it was funny, about a couple chapters over when that happened, Lazarus is sitting down at the dinner table with Jesus, and all the Pharisees and Sadducees and the scribes over there trying to plot his death.
Right.
I always thought that to be funny. Jesus done raised him from the dead. What made him think he couldn't do it again?
That's right.
The fiery trial, which is to try us. Each and every one of us goes through fiery trials.
Yes, sir.
And man, I can almost hear sometimes the flames licking at the back of my neck. The devil's right on your trail.
Yes, sir.
Amen. The hounds of hell themselves are trying to chew you down, trying to devour you. But I'm glad, like I said, there's one who's there with you. Amen. One who's already overcome death.
Yes,
he's overcome hell, and he's overcome the grave. And he's got the keys. Amen.
That's right.
The devil has no authority and power over them anymore. But Peter said, don't think it strange concerning the fiery trial. He used the same word that was described about the furnace. Fiery. You might be in a furnace today. Those of you that pray on the altar might feel like you've been in a furnace, and it might feel 7 times hotter than it ever been. But there's one in the fire with you.
Amen.
There's one in there walking around.
Yes,
and his image is like the Son of God. Amen. The fire can't touch you long as he's there with you. Hey man, that the smell of smoke wasn't on them. Their clothes hadn't been singed, so there was not a hair on their head had been singed. God knows there were hair on your head, and he can take care of all of them. Amen.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
You see, Paul told Timothy over there, and I believe it was 2 Timothy, I want to say 3:12, 3:14, somewhere like that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
But Peter said, you're happy if you suffer for Christ. Amen. If you're going through a fiery trial, then you need to be happy about it, be thankful about it, because there's one who's been there already.
Yes,
and he knows how to get you through it. He knows how to manage it. Back in Isaiah, I find this very interesting. Isaiah 44 and around 45, down in that area. Isaiah 44, God begins to talk. And this is a problem that Israel had for years. It was idol worship.
Yeah.
He began to kind of call them out.
Yep.
And he began to tell them in Isaiah 44, verse 12, he says, the smith, in other words, the blacksmith, with the tongs, both worketh in the coals, and fashioneth it with hammers, and worketh it with the strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry, and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water, and is faint. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule, and marketh it out with a line, and he fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with a compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. He's talking about making an idol.
Right.
Making an idol out of wood. Making an idol out of metal. Notice how silly this is. He heweth him down cedars, and he taketh the cypress, the oak, which he strengtheneth for himself among the trees of the forest. He planteth an ash, and the rain doth nourish it. He plants all these trees, then he cuts them down. Then shall it be for a man to burn, for he will take thereof and warm himself. Yea, he kindleth it, and he makes bread on it. And then, yea, he makes a god and worshipeth it. He makes it a graven image and falleth down and worships it. He burneth part of it in the fire. The part thereof he eateth the flesh, the bread. And then he roasteth the roast and is satisfied. Yea, he warmeth himself, and then he says, aha, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And with the residue thereof, with the rest of the wood that's left over after he's had his belly's full, he's nice and warm and he's ready to take a nap. With the wood that's left, the same wood that was consumed in the fire, he maketh a god.
Yeah.
Little g.
Yeah.
Even his graven image, he falleth down unto it and worshipeth it and prayeth unto it and saith, deliver me, for thou art my God. They have not known nor understood, for he hath shut their eyes that they cannot see,
right,
and their hearts that they cannot understand. And none considereth in his heart, neither is there knowledge or understanding to say, I have burned part of it in the fire. Yea, I've also baked bread upon the coals thereof. I've roasted flesh and eaten it. And shall I make the residue thereof an abomination? Shall I fall down to the stalk of a tree? He feedeth on ashes. A deceived heart hath turned him aside, that he cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? God says later on, he tells him that I'm the only God. He says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else.
That's right. Amen.
There is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none else beside me. You look to the right, you look to the left, there's no other God besides God.
That's right.
But I want you to notice something. What really got my attention was that these idols that these people were making back in that day were made of wood.
Right.
And they were made of metal. But when they put them in the fire, they were burned.
Right.
But I'm glad God, when he's in the fire, he's not consumed.
He's
the one that does the consuming, amen.
That's right.
And if you'll get your problems and your troubles and your worries and your cares in the fire where God is, he can consume them up.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
And you won't have to worry about them anymore. Lay those things on the altar. Man, I tell you what, I've been reading a book that's really stirred my soul and really helped me along my way in the Christian walk. You know, just as I'm a preacher up here conveying the word to you, God has used people out there to write books, amen, to help the Christians in their walk with Him. Some of you know about the old preachers, C.H. Spurgeon and R.A. Torrey and some of those men, Billy Sunday and all them. And some of them wrote books. Billy Graham wrote many books for the Lord. And there's a book that I recommend everybody go out and check out. Amen. And it's called The Christian Secret to a Happy Life. I'm telling you what, this lady lived in 18-something 70, I think it was. And she began to, back then, you know, they had a little bit of boldness. They had faith in the Lord. They knew how to serve the Lord. And they were holier than we are today because they didn't have to worry about all the cell phones, all the Facebooks, all the TV. They didn't have all that. They could spend more time with God.
Yes, sir.
And man, the way she talked, I'm reminded of what Jesus, when Jesus talked to the scribes, they begin to say he spoke as one as having authority.
That's right.
And this book has really helped me because she speaks, the author speaks with authority and says, just leave all your cares and your doubts in God's hands and don't worry about it no more.
Right.
Go your way and do what God has placed in your heart and just leave the rest of it with him. He'll take care of the rest.
Yes, sir. Help me, Lord.
If we do his part all the time, he can't do his part. Right. We can't do his part very well anyway.
That's right. Praise the Lord.
Glorify the Lord in the fires. When you're in the middle of a temptation, when you're in the middle of a trouble, when you're in the middle of a fire, just go to the Lord and start praising.
Amen.
Start giving him the praise for the deliverance that's to come. Start praising him for what's not even happened yet. You know why? Because God said, I can see the end from the beginning. Amen. You need to have a God-like vision, a Christ-like vision, and a spiritual eye that says, Lord, I know you're going to deliver me out of this because I can see deliverance on the other side.
Amen.
Don't let the devil tread over you. Don't let the devil, ride your back. Amen. You got to get him off of there. Amen. You got to set him down and tell him, get behind me, get fixed, Satan. Use the word of God to back it up. And he has to flee. Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord tonight. God is in the fire. And when we're in the fire, we need to praise him because he's there. He's there with us. We may not feel like he's there, but I'm glad I'm not saved by my feelings.
That's right.
If I was saved by my feelings, amen, I'd be the most miserable man on this earth because my feelings deceive me every day. Amen.
Right.
Sometimes I get an emotional wreck because of the feelings that I have in my own body, my own mind. Sometimes it just gets all over me. But then I have to go to God and give them to him because he's able, amen, to wrestle those things in and make your imaginations captive to him. Bring every thought into the control of Christ. I'm not saved by my feelings. I'm saved by fact.
Right.
Fact in the faith of the grace of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It still takes the blood. Amen. It don't take all this other stuff people try to force on you. It don't take the vaccine. It don't take any other kind of medicine. It don't take $1 million. Amen. You just have $1 million and split hell wide open.
Right.
Amen. It still takes the cleansed, pure blood of Christ.
Amen.
That's the only thing it could pay for our sin. That's it. That's why he came. Because nobody else down here was worthy. You look in Revelation, you find that John was up there with him, and all the elders up there begin to ask, who's worthy to open the book?
Right.
If nobody in heaven was worthy, you sure will make sure that nobody on earth was worthy.
That's right.
He had to come. He had to be the Lamb. It was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was the only one that was worthy to open the book. He's the only one that's worthy to handle your situation today.
That's right. Amen.
As you get a song, come on, get a song.
Praise the Lord.
I'm glad for obedience today.
Yes,
I'm glad for the revival-like spirit that the Lord has sent this way.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I'd like to be in a good old revival this year. I'd like to have a good old revival. Amen. This world, after being inside and doom and gloom these last couple of years, I believe it's time we get up and get alive.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. We've been sitting down at home too much. Amen. We got lazy and fat. Amen. I know I have. Amen. And it's time to get out and do a little something for God.
Yes, amen.
As they sing, let's all stand.